The average sales rep clings so tightly to phone and email instead of including additional forms of outreach. So today I have five reasons why you should include things besides phone and email in your prospecting cadence. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the importance of having a multi-channel approach to your prospecting efforts. And the reason why I think this is so important, it's because here we are in, I guess you would have to refer to these as modern times. And yet I see so many people acting as if we're living in a world that it's just the phone that's available to us. Or perhaps the phone and email, and that's about it. And yet we have all these other things that are available to us. Now, before we dive into this head first, I feel I need to say something. Every time I have this discussion, every time I put out content about the importance of a multi-channel approach to prospecting, people automatically take the argument to the extreme. Did you ever notice that a lot of the time you could take anything? You could take politics, you could take religion, and certainly you could take sales. And automatically you have people that want to take it to the extreme and blow it out of proportion so it becomes the conversation that they want to have. And in many cases, the conversation that justifies their actions. So I want to be very clear about something. Nobody is taking a crap on cold calling or on emails. What I'm saying today is that there is room for those efforts to be complemented by other efforts. So having said that and stepping down off of my soapbox and bringing my tone of voice down, because I felt myself getting angry, like I was going to get pissed off, like I was going to incite an effing riot here on the podcast. That's no good. So having said all that, let me give you a few reasons why I feel a multi-channel approach to prospecting is in order. The first one, if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that I'm very passionate about this. Everyone has their own preferred method or platform of communication. For some people, it might be LinkedIn. Other people, it's text messages. For other people, well, it's just, it could be anything. It could be snail mail that they like, or maybe they like other forms of social networking. Maybe it's face-to-face things. Other people, you're not going to get a hold of them without any kind of maybe a warm intro because they're very guarded and they really protect their time. Other people, on a similar note, it could be you're never going to get in front of them without a referral. And it just could go on and on and on. But here's the bottom line. When we only stick to one or maybe two forms of outreach, like email and the phone, what happens is that we limit our opportunities. Why? Because not everyone picks up their phone, right? Like, big revelation. This is why Castain makes the big bucks here, because he says intelligent shit like that. Like, not everyone actually picks up their phone. And you know I'm right. But also, by the same token, not everyone is going to respond to your emails. Out of all the cold emails that you send out, how many people actually respond to you? So again, we are limiting our opportunities. And the only other thing that I want to say about this is that many times when we talk about different platforms, like I might say to you, well, what about LinkedIn? And many times people say to me, well, I don't get LinkedIn, or I don't like LinkedIn. Or perhaps I say, what about traditional networking? How about creative types of approaches? How about dropping in? Well, I don't like that. I don't go for that. And the thing of it is, and I've said this so many different ways, from blunt to ways that are just being protecting the ultra sensitive. But now I'm just going to give you unfiltered casting. So if you're offended by bad language, today is not a good day to be listening to me. If you're worried because you're listening to this with your sales team of an HR incident, perhaps it's a good time to listen to another episode. But when we make statements like, I don't really get LinkedIn, or I don't care for this, or I don't go for that, or I don't like this, or I don't like that, you need to know something. Nobody gives a flying, you know what? And I almost actually said the curse. That's how angry I am right now. And I really have to chill out because it's like Easter and I should be in a much more loving mood today. But nobody gives a shit about what you get or what you like or what you care for or what you don't care for. What they care about is what they care about, and it's where they want to show up. So if you're clinging to things that they have no use for example, forgive me while I give you a great example from my day-to-day as a business owner. I own a small business, a small training company. And people are always trying to sell me stuff. I will tell you, if you try to call me, you will never speak to me. Why? Because I'm always in a classroom or preparing to go in a classroom, or I'm busy with all the other things that I do as a business owner. Perhaps it's my coaching clients that I'm spending time with or whatever. I'm spending a lot of my time doing other things. You will never get me by phone. If you are a person who wants to contact me by email to sell me something, chances you have a better chance. But if you really want to get a hold of me, hang out in the places where I'm hanging out. One of them is LinkedIn. Another one is Twitter. So, and I can go on and on. I mean, my blog is another place where I'm. So you really have to go where they are, but you don't know where they are many times until you try. So reason number one why we need this multi-channel approach is because everyone has their preferred method or platform. Let's go to reason number two, because we beat the hell out of reason number one. Reason number two, it's going to make for a more interesting courtship. Now, let me explain this to you. I want you to imagine having the same crappy date at the same crappy place. And if we want to just go a little bit further, which really isn't our discussion today, but I got to throw it in there. We said, imagine having the same crappy date at the same crappy place, having the same crappy dialogue. How long would you expect that courtship to last? And it's the same thing when you are courting potential clients. So what we need to do, and also too, I want to throw this out there. You know, there are a lot of things that have changed over the years in sales. A lot of people say nothing's changed about sales. Well, I think the way people are buying has changed dramatically, and therefore we really need to change a lot of the ways and means that we use to embrace the sale. So one of the things we know about sales now is that a lot of deals now have a longer sales cycle. And there used to be this thing, by the way, and people are still saying it as if it's still accurate, and I believe it's completely outdated. But there was a study that was put out, and it had to be 30 years ago, because I remember hearing it when I first started in sales, and that was 35 years ago. And they're still saying it today, that it takes an average of 7 touches or whatever it is to make the sale. And I've heard it said so many different ways. 7 touches to make the sale. Hey, God bless you. If you could do it in 7 touches, man, you should be doing the podcast and I should be sitting there like in Wayne's World saying, I'm not worthy. Because that's freaking awesome if you could do it in 7 touches. But the thing that I hear a lot of people say is more, well, it takes at least 7 touches to get in front of a potential client. I have news for you. I think it's a hell of a lot longer than that. I think that might have been true 30 years ago when there was less noise in the world. But I think it takes at least 7 touches for people to know who the hell you are and to maybe trust you Or maybe you demonstrate your expertise and know-how to some minimal level enough that they're going to say, I'm going to grant you an appointment. I want to hear you out. So I think it's a hell of a lot longer than seven touches. So if you're having just the same damn seven touches, or let's just say it's more like 30 touches or 50 touches, whatever the hell the magic number is, you're going to bore the hell out of people if you just keep showing up with the same message on the same platform. It's just, and what happens, by the way, is that you're going to create something that is going to be more about a bad stimulus response type of interaction. And the reason why I was hesitating there, actually, it becomes a game of evasion. Because, and the stimulus is you call. The response, they blow off the call. Let it go to voicemail. Or maybe they take the call from you and they give you a standard blow off. Oh, we're all set. Or not interested. Or yeah, send me your information. Hey, you know what? Call me back next month, year end, next century. I mean, right? It just goes on and on and on. So what you need to think about is you need to own the concept that it's going to be a longer courtship. And if it's going to be a longer courtship, you can't court them with a short-term mentality. You need to court them with this mindset that we're going to throw some variety in here, both in the messaging and the vehicle, which the vehicle to me is how we deliver the message. Are we going to deliver it through an email, a phone call, like everybody else and their mother? I've literally seen people bring their mother and their mother is doing it. That's how shitty this whole thing is. When somebody's mom gets involved like that, come on. So seriously, the vehicle could be through LinkedIn. The vehicle could be through some content or a video or creativity or stopping in or dropping something off or maybe through a mutual friend and a warm introduction. But you need to think about those things because that's how we add a lot more variety in there. So again, we need to change it up. And when we change it up, we're going to become less typical. And when we become less typical, we're going to stand out. And right now, that's the challenge for us. Because most people that I talk to in sales, they say, Paul, if you can get me in front, or if you can show me how to get in front of more people, I do very, very well at that point selling my company. But it's just getting people to hear me out. So let me give you reason number three why I think a multi-channel prospecting approach is in order. It's going to become more interesting for you. Before, in reason number two, we said it's going to be a more interesting courtship, but it's also going to be more interesting for you. We're about to get very selfish here, folks. It's going to be more interesting for you. Why? Because you and I are not wired to do one thing all day. And for many people, the one thing that they're doing all day, whether it's once a week, twice a week, maybe several times a month, it's cold calling. So what happens when we have something that makes us uncomfortable? Well, we avoid things that are either tedious or, again, things that make us uncomfortable, like the phone. Now, it doesn't mean we shouldn't call. But it means that if you naturally hate the phone and avoid it, and that's all you really have, then guess what? You're not going to generate a lot of opportunities. You've limited, once again, the opportunities that you have. So I want you to think about this. If you find yourself listening to this and you're questioning how you're going about getting in front of opportunities, I really want you to ask yourself a question. Ask your ego to leave the room. You owe yourself an honest answer to this. Do you really enjoy cold calling? Because I hear a lot of people say, I love cold calling. And I have to be honest with you. I really question how people could love cold calling, which I know is a horrible thing for a sales trainer to say, but I'm being real here. I've never loved cold calling. I've understood the necessity of cold calling. I understand why I need to do it and why you need to do it, but I've never loved it. At times in my career, I have downright effing hated it. Seriously, I have. And for a number of reasons. People, I'm not trying to sound like a lightweight, but out by me, I don't know how they are by you, but some people are real assholes out here. When they answer the phone, instead of just saying, oh, no thanks, they gotta get just a little bit dicky about the whole thing. And maybe a little combative, instead of just politely saying thanks, but no thanks. That's one of the things. I'm human like you guys. I'm not crazy about rejection. But the thing of it is, I've continued to cold call for 35 years. Not as my only means to securing opportunities, but because I know it's important. And I'm going to get into a little bit more about why I think that's important, as well as the other types of touches, if you will. But again, I want to be very clear. If you have something that makes you uncomfortable, you're going to avoid it. If you have something that you find really, really tedious, you're going to avoid it. And if you're the kind of person that the way that you prospect is that you're going to take, for example, this Thursday and block the entire day or half a day, most people don't look forward to it. And I'm also here to tell you, you remember before I said how we tend to avoid things that make us uncomfortable? I would submit to you that we avoid things many times in ways that we're not even aware of. We have these avoidance activities. So it could be something where you're supposed to do cold calling this Thursday. Thursday rolls around, 9 a.m. the alert goes off, and you find yourself doing administrative things. Or you find yourself out in the plant. Or you find yourself talking to this coworker about the TPS reports or whatever. Or maybe you're being a little more chatty. Or guess what? Maybe you're clinging to safe avoidance activities like taking inbound calls from clients instead of letting that go to voicemail for 25 or 30 minutes while you do your first round of outbound calls, calling them back in 30 minutes. Nobody's going to kill you for taking a whole 30 minutes to call them back. Or maybe you find yourself avoiding this whole business of cold calling by calling your existing clients. They love you. They're not going to hang up on you. They're not going to tell you to piss off. Or worse than that, if you live out by me, right? So you have to be careful. So if you might be fooling yourself. You might be thinking that you're actually getting a lot of this done. But if you don't like the activity, you're not going to go at it wholeheartedly. But now, if you mix it up and you have parts of this that you enjoy, maybe you enjoy the LinkedIn component, maybe you enjoy the snail mail component or the creative component or the warm intro component or whatever, you're going to now get more done than if you just embraced one thing that either you don't like or you just barely tolerate. Brings us to item number four, a much quicker reason here. This isn't a much quicker reason. I'm saying it's a much quicker reason that I'm going to share with you. Actually, no, I'm sitting here now reading my notes. See, each platform offers us different benefits. For example, LinkedIn allows us to demonstrate our expertise. Well, how do we demonstrate our expertise on LinkedIn? Well, one of the ways that we demonstrate the expertise is that we have something called a LinkedIn profile, right? Isn't that your online resume? So if you're interacting with a potential client on LinkedIn, they get to see where you've worked and how long you've been in the industry and endorsements and things like that. But also, another way to demonstrate your expertise is that you could be putting out content on LinkedIn. And when I say content, it doesn't have to be something where you quit your job and you become a glorified copywriter. I'm not talking about that. It could be something as simple as offering a tip or a resource or shooting a quick video or using LinkedIn Publisher and taking, what, like 20 or 30 minutes to just put something out there. We're offering some helpful hints and some tips. But also the other thing that LinkedIn allows us to do, it allows us to bypass the gatekeeper because there aren't any on LinkedIn. But now that's LinkedIn. Let's talk about some other ones. Let's use one that we said we wanted to try to complement with some other things, but we still have to talk about it. Emails allow us to have a link in there. A link can guide them someplace else. That's kind of important. It could bring them to, I don't know, some content. It could bring them to your website. It could bring them to some third-party resource that could be very helpful to them. Who knows? But there's a lot of opportunities there. In my case, if you sell webinars, it brings them to a landing page where they can buy something. In other cases, it could be to a landing page where you offer them some free content, again, demonstrating your expertise. You could also, with email, you can embed a video. So now you're bringing this human touch to prospecting that you normally wouldn't have in an email. You can embed a video, or you can embed some kind of a graphic. You can attach something to the email. I think that's going to come a little later once you've established trust, because I don't know about you guys. If I don't know you and you send me an attachment, I'm not opening it. But perhaps after we've chatted a few times, that could be a possibility. But let's talk about some other things too. What about traditional networking? Traditional networking can offer us the opportunity for a warm intro from a mutual acquaintance. And that brings us to referrals, the same thing, a warm intro from a mutual acquaintance. Also, I just want to put a little note in here. I'm sure you know this, and you're going to say, Doug Castain, but referrals also close a lot faster than opportunities that were generated, say, from a cold call or dropping in or anything else, because in many ways, our reputation has preceded us. Especially if it's coming from a trusted person, someone that they put a lot of trust in. But let's move on. How about snail mail? Snail mail, and when I say snail mail, that's also overnighting things, and it could be FedEx, things of that nature. Well, I can send you samples that way. I can't do that through an email where you could physically touch the samples. Also, and speaking of samples, samples are a form of physical evidence. We've talked about that one a lot. We use evidence to reduce doubt and skepticism and hesitation, and even to reduce the probability of an objection. And the best way to fight an objection is to kill it before it ever happens. That's the best way to address an objection. Instead of responding to it, killing it before it ever becomes a thing. So evidence can help reduce doubt. And if they have that physical evidence, that can make a world of difference, especially when we're living in a world that is not offering the physical evidence because they're calling and they're emailing. But also with snail mail and FedExing and overnighting, I can offer a more personal touch with a handwritten component. I could do a more personal touch and maybe have some fun with a greeting type of card. Let's go on to a few more things. How about a drop-in? Well, it could offer a quick meet and greet. And also, too, it can show that you're a human being, because they are staring at you. Unless you take on the form of an alien when you meet people, that's a wonderful way to demonstrate that you are, in fact, a human. But the other thing, too, and this isn't just to be said for dropping in, and I'm not saying that. That's Paul's main takeaway today. Everybody drop in on people. But the thing about drop-ins, and many of these other things here that I mentioned today, most of these things are they're off script. What do I mean by that? It's really out of their playbook. It's something that they're not expecting. What are they expecting? They're expecting tons of calls, tons of emails, and they've got responses and rebuttals for everything we throw at them on those two platforms. Once again, it doesn't mean that we never use those again. It just means that they are fully locked, loaded, prepared, defenses up on those platforms. So if we go off of those platforms, they really are caught a little bit off guard. Now, we're not using that for evil, catching them off guard, or so that we can manipulate them in a bad way. But how cool would it be if we can catch them off guard enough to lower their guard enough to hear us out? Because once that happens, I mean, haven't you been as frustrated as I've been when it comes to this, where you say, man, if they would only hear me out, they'd realize that I can actually help them. But they're so used to people calling them up that are full of shit and people sounding like everyone else that now it becomes this. Remember, we said that stimulus response thing where we could never say this to someone. But wouldn't, did you ever like get off of a phone call where you wanted to say to the person, do you even know what I just said? You were just so into your auto response, your condition response. I don't think you heard what the hell I said. You could never say that to someone. But I think we've all left a cold calling scenario where we felt that way. And by the way, I want to tell you when I realized this. I realized this from the perspective of a decision maker, of a buyer, years ago, when people were making a lot more phone calls than they were today. I own a printing company, was getting a lot of calls, and my wife kept hearing me say, oh, you know, I was very courteous, and she kept hearing me say, I'm sorry, I'm not interested. Oh, thank you very much, but I'm not interested. And after about two or three of these calls, and by the way, she was always hanging out with me in those days. We worked together, and which we will never do again, by the way. Because Mrs. Castain said, if we are ever to remain married, we can never do that again. And she was 100% right, but I digress. She said to me after about two or three of these calls, she said, do you even know what they said to you? And I go, really, I don't. She says, so this was kind of automatic for you? And I said, yeah, because I get a ton of these calls. And she said, well, not like somebody was doing this, but so somebody could have called you and said, I made way too much money last year and my accountant told me I need to give away $1 million and it probably went over your head. And I said, absolutely. I really don't know what the hell they said to me. And it just opened my eyes and I realized that it just, so much of this is condition, you know, stimulus response, that we need something to interrupt that pattern. And there's a lot of ways to facilitate a pattern interrupt. And I guess one of the things we're talking about today is by using a different means or a different vehicle or a different platform or a different channel, whatever you want to call it, that can interrupt the pattern in a way because it is off of the script. The other thing too, and I think in fairness, we need to mention phone in here. With a phone call, you can hear my voice. Again, it reminds you that there's a human being attached to these sales efforts. I can also communicate something to you via the phone that really requires and depends on my inflection and my tone. It could even be something that's very sensitive that if I do it through email, you could misread the whole thing. And doesn't that happen, by the way, through, I'm not saying that, okay, let's never use email, but it can happen many times. I read something the other day, and I was all ready to just cut this person a new one. And it was something on Twitter, and then I just calmed down for a minute. I was like, whoa, I just totally misread that. Thank God. I wasn't going right back at this person. So, and last but not least, and this isn't one of my favorites, but I have to keep reminding myself that which I'm teaching you guys, which is nobody gives a shit what you get or like or dislike or whatever. So with that in mind, I have to offer text messages in there. I am not a fan of them, but that doesn't mean that you guys aren't. That doesn't mean that somebody right now who's willing to hire me as a keynote speaker or their sales coach or buy some of my online programs doesn't absolutely love text messages. And by the way, to the point that all the other things, they don't even regard. Text messages, they love. But text messages now, they offer us some things that the other things don't. We're pretty much looking at damn near a 100% open rate. And we're talking about a hell of a lot less noise. So that's why we use all these different things, because each platform can offer us different benefits. And by the way, this is why I'm a big advocate of using different social networking platforms, because of the functionality on the different platforms. Again, it can give us ways to get the message out there and to appeal to different types of people and to emphasize different things about us that make us different. So there you have it, folks. Several reasons why a multi-channel approach, when it comes to your prospecting, can help get you in front of more deals. Now, the last thing that I want to say here is that I get it if you're not using anything other than phone and email. But I want to leave you with a thought. And yeah, I'm going to get a little spammy right now and a little self-promotional because my wealthy benefactor is like not being a wealthy benefactor and give me all kinds of money. So last time I checked, I still, like, you guys have to sell shit. So the thing of it is that a lot of you guys avoid these other things that I talked about, like LinkedIn and referrals and creativity and snail mail and warm intros, because you don't know how to. And for us in sales, with our egos as they are, it's very hard for us to ask other people for help. So again, you remember how we said before how we avoid things that make us uncomfortable? These things that I mentioned today, you might be avoiding them. You might be fully on board with what I said, but they make you uncomfortable because you don't know how to use LinkedIn, or you feel a little funny asking for referrals, and you could use a few good ideas on how to do it in a seamless way. So if you find yourself saying, yeah, that's me, then I would really invite you to check out the Rockstar Academy program that we have. And let me give you just a really quick overview. And this is a downloadable program. You can go at your own pace. Session one, we talk about creating an effective prospecting plan. Session two, 20 ways to create opportunities. Session three, meticulous pre-call planning. Session four, cold emails that get open, read, and responded to. Session five, a cure for the common cold call. Session six, social selling tactics. That's where we'll be talking about things like LinkedIn and personal branding and how you can use those platforms to generate opportunities. Session seven, network like a pro. Session eight, how to rock your referrals. Session nine, how to get your dream client's attention. Session 10, creating a kick-ass prospecting cadence. Now, there's more to it than this. There's also 50 plus templates, 3 ebooks, multiple PDFs. So if you'd like to learn more, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/rockstar, all lowercase letters, all one word, yoursalesplaybook.com/rockstar. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them.